I don't have my filter on. I just have no filter tonight, so I'm sorry about that. And I didn't mean, when I said, Jody sang that one song, I said, can anything else go wrong? I didn't mean that she was doing something wrong. I just, you know, when you say that, it goes, nothing else can go wrong. You know what I'm saying? And it rains or something like that. That's what I meant. And I said, man, I actually said that out loud. Can anything else go wrong? Man, pastor's just being rude tonight. I wasn't trying to be rude. I just thought, you know, what if the building all of a sudden starts turning to the left or something? I'm giving y'all time to get to 1 Thessalonians 5 at the same time, letting you guys know I have the same feelings you have. Amen? We don't always feel like it. I'm glad it ain't got nothing to do with my feelings. I'm glad faith has nothing to do with the way I feel. Sometimes you have to go anyway, pray anyway, speak anyway, preach anyway, sing anyway, and love God, love people anyway. Amen? All right, good, good. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, let's go back a couple verses. Let's go 4:16. Do y'all believe this? I'll give you this verse or two, and then I'm going to give you an introduction to chapter 5, and I'll tell you why I'm preaching this tonight. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Do y'all believe that? Yes. With the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Do y'all believe that? Yes. Okay. Then which we are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Do y'all believe that? Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Do you really believe that?
Yes.
I've been preaching here now. We'll be going into our fourth year. I think this March will be the fourth year. I started filling in here as the interim pastor. I don't know if we even had the title in November or something like that. Y'all asked me to come down here, and somebody said, you're going to be the pastor here, and I told them they were crazy. That's kind of how it went down. Here we are. We're going into our fourth year. And God's got a sense of humor, and he does what he wants to do, and we don't get to do anything we want to do or not do. So I was looking at this, and when I come out of my previous ministry job, I would always be concerned that men that struggled with addiction would fall back into addiction. That was my biggest concern. Secondary to them knowing Christ, of course. But when you're working with addicts and you've got 90 days to work with addicts, you always worry that someone in the process is going to break down and they're going to go back to using. Okay? And we had guys who worked on campus with us. And see, as a pastor, you've got different levels. You've got people who come and visit. You've got members. You've got people who are leadership here. So you got different levels. We have different levels there, too. And I was always concerned with my leadership. Like, it would stink for a guy to work in rehab for a year and then go out and use and die in his addiction. He helped everybody in their addiction for a year or 2 years and yet go out and get drunk, get high, and die in his addiction. That happened to me 3 times. Okay? That happened to me 3 times. I learned after the second one. The third one, I called it. Okay? So then I come here and I'm thinking, you know, as a pastor, what's your biggest concern? On levels, my biggest concern is that we minister to everybody that comes in this church. And then all of a sudden, God continuously stirs my heart. Like this week, God has constantly stirred my heart because this last Sunday, somebody come to me and said, so-and-so's here, there's somebody here, and they're, I think they might be lost, and man, I'm excited, they're here, they need it. And I'm always excited too, but I've got to temper that because usually it takes one watering, one planting, and God giving the increase. Amen? So sometimes when somebody comes in here and you know they need a big dose of Jesus or they need to be saved, it's going to take a minute unless they're at the end and God's like, hey, I'm going to draw them today. I don't care if you preach on finances. The Holy Spirit's going to grab hold of him and I'm going to pull him up here and they're going to say, I want to get saved. And he's like, I was preaching on finances. I don't preach on finances very much, but I'm just, you know, marital relationships, whatever. They get saved because God gave the increase. But my biggest concern as a pastor, and you'll hear this in my preaching this week, probably Sunday, in the next few weeks, God's just really burdened my heart, is people that are in the church that are not saved. Doing God's business, doing God's work, doing God's calling, and you don't know Jesus. You do stuff in the church, but it's been multiple years, months, or question mark, you fill in the blank. When's the last time God stirred you? When's the last time God brought you to a place where you said, I don't care if I did this job or that job in the church. It's not really about that. It's about me and my relationship with Jesus. Because I'm going to be honest with you. I love to preach. When I'm preaching and teaching God's word, it's like I'm breathing. It's like it's the most natural thing to me. I love it. It's like all my senses are wide open. But if God said tomorrow, you can't preach anymore or your salvation, your relationship with me, I'd say put the relationship on the altar or put the preaching stuff on the altar. And man, it's over. You understand what I'm saying? I want the relationship with Jesus Christ because it doesn't define who I am in Christ Jesus. It's my salvation that does that. It's my relationship to Jesus. Amen. Does that make sense to you? So I'm constantly worried and at my own detriment of, you know, being a pastor, knowing situations here, I'm always preaching to people, but I'm scared that you're going to get to the end of this thing and you'll stand there before God and you'll say things like, I did this at the church. I worked at the church. I served at the church. I did this. I prepared meals. You fill in the blank, and God say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. But then you compare yourself and you say, well, God, I'm better. I mean, there were people that come in our church who were high, who were drunk, who were adulterers. I know some people who were drinking in our church. I knew some people who were lying in our church. I said, yeah, I know, but they were saved. Amen? They were saved. And I dealt with them. You might not have seen it, but I dealt with them. I chastened them when you weren't looking. But I never chastened you because you're not mine. And you said, why did you keep asking us when you read that first part? Do you believe this day is coming? I believe this wholeheartedly that the day of the Lord is coming. It's coming. And guess what? There are going to be real people that I've preached to, that you've taught, that you've sang about, and sit around and work with, and they're going to stand there, and they're going to go into eternity, separated from God and us who believe. And man, that really bothers me. That bothers me. That shakes me. That bothers me. And I was thinking, man, why does that bother me so much? I thought, well, I think that should bother us if you hold any position here whatsoever, and if you're a parent, or if you're a grandparent. Because we put a lot of emphasis on our kids' social standing, what school they go to, what job they get. Where are they going to spend eternity? Where are they? I mean, where are you going to spend eternity? I really be honest with you. I start looking at my kids. I'm thinking, man, they know I'm upset about the room being messed up. I'm really upset that they're not doing as good as they should be doing in school. When's the last time I got so bent out of shape about their condition with the Lord? Amen? Verse 5. But of the times of the season, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. Paul said, these things will happen, but you know that I can't put a title on this. You know I can't put a date on this. Thessalonica, this church was preoccupied that the Lord was coming back. Paul come and said, I want to tell you about this good news. Jesus Christ died for you on that cross. He paid for your sin debt. If you put your trust and faith in Him, He'll be the Lord of your life. And when He comes back, you'll go to heaven. And they were like, pack your bag, Susie. We're going to glory. And they stopped doing everything. The church at Thessalonica were standing, bags packed, spiritually, waiting. Word got back to Paul and said, they're not doing anything. They're just sitting around waiting on the Lord to come back. This was within the first 50 years of the New Testament church. And they had that issue. They were ready to go, and it's been 2,000 years since then, and the Lord hasn't come back. And we've got another problem on our hands. The same church, different problem. We're closer to eternity than they ever thought about being. We're less concerned about it. We're probably standing, I'm being honest, we're probably standing teetering on the edge of eternity. And you say, well, brother, you don't know. Okay, let's just say this. Can I just take a wild guess? We're over 2,000 years closer than they were. That's a lot of years. God seemed to work a lot every 2,000 years or so. I wouldn't be surprised. I'm not saying I'm not putting a date on it either. But man, here we are getting closer, and it seems like we're less occupied about it. I don't think we should freeze up and just close the doors and sit in here and go, Lord, come on back. And I think the church might be doing some of that too. But I want to say, hey, let's think about it. Let's think about it when we're so concerned about stuff that's very trivial compared to eternal. When we're aggravated and frustrated and mad at each other over something that's very, very temporal, we're not mad about souls. We're not mad about where we're going to spend eternity. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child. They shall not escape. A good thief will come when you have no clue they're coming. Amen. The Lord says, I'm coming back. So literally, this is when it's going to happen. When you don't think it's absolutely possible. And you think, well, that could be, that ain't, it's very indescript. But he gives us an example. He gives us an example. Let me give you this first. Listen, if I was a thief, I would remove every thought that a thief could possibly come. Right now in our country, we're systematically taking God out of everything. Amen? Everything public, God's coming out. Amen? And even churches, and I'm not going to get into a rant, but even churches are getting very scared to say absolute biblical truths. We're getting petrified, because if we say it, then we're labeled as that kind of church. And if we get labeled as that kind of church, we're not going to be looked upon good in the community, in the world today. Man, that's scary, ain't it? Absolutely true, but absolutely scary that we're even considering those things. Amen? But it gives us an example here. It says, look, I want y'all to see this about the woman. Look at this. Then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Listen, the people that are looking for the second coming of the Lord, it looks a lot like a woman who's going to have a child. Amen? Now look, a child can come at any time, but praise God, when you start seeing the different symptoms of pregnancy, you can almost say, hey, in about 9 months, she's going to have a child. Is that correct? And when you get closer and closer, she gets bigger and bigger. Her body starts adjusting. The baby starts turning. Amen? Guess what? As a believer, I believe the world's getting more pregnant. Amen? It's getting more and more and more pregnant for the time to come. Amen? I mean, the things that are in this book are in the paper. Amen? And, oh, God, I'm sorry I said that. I am so sorry I said that. It's in your news feed. Whew. Most people don't even know what a paper is anymore. And if you do, thank goodness. Amen? Most people don't even know what a paper is anymore. They got Twitter. They got Facebook. They got social media. And if they want to look up a paper, they put it on a digital deal too. If you're still looking at a paper, that's awesome. I have not seen a paper in forever. That used to be my favorite thing to do, is read the sports page. Amen? I don't do that anymore. I ain't seen the sports page in forever. Because now I got, at your fingertips, you can look up every sport there is. You can even do this way. You don't have to use your fingertips. You say, hey, Siri, who won the game? And she talks back to you and then tells the government where you're at and what you're doing. Amen. That didn't cost you anything. It didn't cost you nothing. But ye, brethren, verse 4, let's switch gears. Okay, so those that do not know the Lord, that day is coming. It will come, and it will come as a thief in the night. It will come as a thief. And it will come when you think, man, I'm going to work. I'm going to be up there to church Sunday night. I'll be up there Sunday morning. I'll be up there Wednesday. I'll be doing this. We got that play coming in Christmas time. And next year, we're going to be in that new building. Do you know the Lord could come back before we ever get in that new building? Amen? The Lord could come back. You know what? The new building will be up there. Amen? The new building will be up there. And there's plenty of room. Amen? Now, I'm not advocating for that to happen. I just say it. That's wrong. Let's go to verse 4. But you, brethren, are not in the darkness that you should that it should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of the light, the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Jesus gave a parable in the New Testament that prepared us for this. It's the parable of the ten virgins. He said, five were wise and five were foolish. He said, but while the bridegroom tarried, they all slept. Amen. I believe what he was saying in the end of the world, at the end of the time, the church and the world will both be sleeping. One group will be prepared for the Lord to come back, but the other group will not be prepared, but they're both disengaged. They're both asleep. Not physically asleep, spiritually asleep. And I believe the church today is spiritually asleep. We're worried, and I love the functions of the church, but we can get sleepy in the church and focus on the minors and miss the majors. Amen? Focus on the minors and miss the majors. And I mean the majors being, are we saved? Amen? And it said the bridegroom came at midnight. Amen? And you see that, and all of a sudden the door was open for the ones that had. And the ones that didn't have, what'd they do? Listen, I'm preaching to you. What'd they say? Give us the oil that you have that we may go in too. And they said, we can't. It's too late. We can't give you that. When should the five wise given to the five foolish. Listen, I'm preaching it. They should have said, hey, girls, wake up. You need to get this. While we have time, you need to get this oil. Now, if they'd have said, get out of here. We don't want to hear that. We're going to go to sleep anyway. Hey, I'm going to stay awake looking for the Lord to come. You need to get this oil. Okay, let me break it down the way it really is. You need this Holy Spirit. You need to be born again. You need that. You need to repent of your sins because the Lord is coming back. That's what you really need. And then, well, I don't like you, man. You're getting on my nerves. That's all you ever want to talk about. That's all. Man, you've gone too crazy. You're all whacked out about Jesus coming back. Yeah. That's what we're supposed to be. But what happened? As they went, when it was too late to go get oil, the five wise went in and the door was shut. And the five foolish stood on the outside begging, let me in. Listen, that is the scariest place to be. The two people I worry about the most are people in a community that one person so good, better than most church folk. Way better than most church folk. Probably out give, out support, out love, out reach, out talk, out share. In this community, there's probably somebody who said, man, and you'll probably describe them like this. That old sister, that old brother would give the shirt off of his back. Not saved. And I don't care what. He can run ringles around the church if he wants to and do better than anybody in the church can. If he's not saved, guess what? He'll spend eternity with a bunch of people that he talked about and said, man, at least I ain't as bad as they are. Guess what? He'll spend eternity with them. And there's another group that scares the daylights out of me, and it's the people that come to church and serve in church and work in church, and man, they are counting, I did this and I done that and I got this, and boy, if you knew what I did, and they remind you and they tell you, and they got a sheet of paper and a nameplate on it and can tell you how much they gave and what they did and where they done. Oh, that's us. They're still not saved. They can't do nothing without me. The church can't go on without me. Listen, the church will go on without you. Matter of fact, the church will go on into eternity without you. And you'll sit here and you'll be trying to have church without God and the Holy Spirit, without the church people. You say, man, I don't like you talking like this on Wednesday night. Matter of fact, I really don't like you talking about this at all. Well, let me be honest with you. I don't either. I'd like to come in here and have just good old feel-good messages. Just say, man, we're all good and we're all going to heaven. You know what? The Bible says it this way. They were men and people stood before God and said, did we not cast out devils in thy name? Did we not preach in your name? Amen? And he said, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. That's people that showed up. Therefore, let us not sleep as others. Verse 7, for they that sleep in the night and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. Why do you got to put on the breastplate of faith and love? Because faith, like I told you tonight when we first started out, faith beats feelings. When it draws closer and closer, guess, listen, the whole world is going to be going one way. They are right now. They're going one way, and it's going to be like you're going to be like a fish swimming upstream. Everybody else is going the easy way, and they're going to say, hey, man, you need to chuck your beliefs. You need to get rid of that. That's old-fashioned. That Bible really don't say that. That's not in there. That's not what it means. Matter of fact, just do away with that and just close that and just take these verses. That's what they'll do. And you say, nah, I'll just keep going by faith, not by feeling, by faith. I'll just keep going with God. And the rest of you can go the way you're going. Amen? And I'll go with God by faith. And in other words, love. Now listen, y'all don't like, I hope y'all like this kind of truth. I love the word love, but I don't like weird love. I don't like weird love. What I mean by weird love is if you're doing something jacked up and your life's going down the pit and you're falling straight down into a mess, and if you think love is somebody comes up and says, man, I love you, and you're messed up as you can be, you're hurting yourself and you're hurting others around you, and love means I hug your neck and say, man, I love you. I hope you don't hit too hard when you bash your head in. You know what I mean? I mean, somebody just doing a nosedive in life. So, man, I love you. But when you hit your forehead, man, I hope you make it. I like love like this. Hey, can I help you slow this nosedive down by giving you some truth on what to do, helping you get out of the nosedive, and giving you some direction and some real help? And that what I mean by help is I'll grab hold and you grab hold. You try to slow down and I'll try to slow you down. You try to find a grip and we try to find a grip. We'll both rely on God. Amen. Are we anywhere close? That's love. That's love. When somebody will literally stand to you and tell you the truth, that is wrong. And if you keep going down that path, it's going to kill you and destroy your life. And I'm telling you right now, that's hard in today's terms. Because if you tell people today, you'll get threatened with everything. And the worst of them, of all, really, right now, it might not, but you'll just get slaughtered with people's words. They're just insensitive. They're just people that don't care. But man, when it all comes down, when we said, yeah, we believe that the Lord's going to come. We believe He's going to come with a shout. We believe that He's going to come back. You know what? In that day, those people will look back at you and go, that's the only person that had faith, and that's the only person that really loved me. Amen? And for an helmet of hope of salvation. Whew. Guys, let me tell you this. Salvation, I don't know where this got started. Some of y'all probably think I'm a heretic. I kind of am somewhat. You don't get saved in your blood pumper. You don't. I know it's my habit too when I say I got saved, it's in my heart. Listen, God comes in your heart, but it's really up here. Amen? It's in your mind. Amen? It's the person you talk to the most. You. Amen? Remember when you got saved? All of a sudden there's that still small voice in there that was different than the one that's always been there. Amen? That's salvation. Amen? When you put on the helmet of salvation, you get a new hope, a new peace, a new joy, a new love, something new. And guess what? That helmet, when it's on snug and tight, it stops stupid thinking. Amen, preacher. It filters your eye gate, ear gate, mouth gate, nose gate. Amen? When you get your helmet of salvation on right, you don't let a lot of stuff come in that's contrary to what's in there. Amen? Because garbage in, garbage out. You put that helmet of salvation on and you look through different lenses. You hear through different optics. You taste and smell different ways. Amen? You say, how do you know? I know because it happened. Amen? When I got saved, it was like somebody lifted scales off my eyes. It was like somebody opened new ears. I heard stuff that I'd never heard, and I seen stuff that I'd never seen. Amen? So when you put that on, it gives you a different... Man, oh, let me go ahead and give you the word. Verse 9. For God hath not appointed, look at this, us to the wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you hear what he just said? What? I hate when teachers used to say this. You ever had a teacher tell you to put your thinking cap on? Golly, it used to burn me up. I'd always say, I don't have one. Some of y'all say, you still don't got one. Put your thinking caps on, right? Okay, put your salvation caps on. What's this mean? When you put the hope of your salvation on, when you turn it on and you read and you pray and you focus on God, you'll come to the conclusion that, listen, that God hath not appointed us to His wrath. Amen? He has not appointed us. That's not our appointment. We got a different appointment. Our appointment, when the wrath is going to be poured out on the world, our appointment is to go to heaven through salvation. I thought y'all would shout about that. I thought, man, this would be a good place to close. I thought y'all had been like, man, there it is. I love that. I'm glad that that's written in there. Amen? That we're not, that's not our final place. That's not the place. But to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we awake or sleep, we should live together with Him. You know what that just said? Write this down. This is a good place right here. We're going to end right here. Whether we live, listen, whether we sleep or whether we're alive. What does that mean? Whether we die and we're in the ground and our spirit's with God, amen, or whether we're alive and living when God comes back. What does that take away? Every event. Everything. Listen, if I die, guess what? My spirit will be separated from my body and it'll be present with God and my body will be in some place. And when God calls us out, my body is going to shoot up out of the ground and it's going to meet my spirit. I'm going to get a new glorified body that corrupt will put on incorruption. Hallelujah. Amen. And I'll be standing there, brand new body, brand new that spirit. Amen. And those that are alive, God gives those a 6-foot head start, I guess. Amen. I don't know why, I guess because they're 6 foot deeper than everybody else. Then we that still are alive and remain, golly bomb. I mean, in a twinkling of an eye, there ain't going to be nothing but our old clothes. And we're going to be gone. And we're going to be reserved in heaven. Man, that... So no matter what happens... What are you talking about, preacher? Get this in your mind. There is nothing anybody can do to you if you're saved that's not going to happen. So don't worry about what people think or say about you when it comes to telling them about their eternity. Because if they're mad at you, they're only going to be mad temporarily, because when eternity comes and you're the only one that told them the truth, one in hell, they'll think, man, somebody at least cared. But God's better than that. What if they get saved? Amen? What if you... I'm being honest with you. What if you're walking the streets of glory and that neighbor, that person said, when you told me I hated you, I despised you, but when you left, amen? When you left, God, I wish you'd get this. When you left, somebody else came. And when they left, the Holy One came. And I resigned my life to Jesus. And I'm in eternity because you cared enough. Man, that's it. I'm worried that the church anymore doesn't really care what the main thing is anymore, and that's seeing souls saved. We should care. And who should we care about? The people that we get to minister to on a regular basis. The people in here. As your pastor, I ask you, how long has it been since God stirred you, moved you? I'm asking. And you say, well, why do you want to know? I don't really want to know. God does. Because what would it profit a man or a woman to be here and not get the main thing? Not at the main thing. That's the point tonight. Let's all stand. I hope this edifies you and challenges you. It challenges me. It challenges me to not let opportunities go by. This church is filling up with people. We got a whole three or four generations coming. And man, we're going to have to worry about where they're going to spend eternity. And every one of you guys should be sowing seed into their lives. What about the lost is lost? Yeah, we're going to try to reach them too. But the ones that come here, that's what we're going to be held accountable for. The ones that come here. The ones that are here. And there's going to be one other group we're accountable for. That's us. You're accountable for you. And this message for you. For me. I'd hate to preach the gospel for 20, 30, 40 years and not go to the place that I preached about. Amen? I'm going. Amen. If I don't preach another man, I'm telling you this, I'm going. I know one thing. August 28th of 04, I got the real thing. Amen? I got it. Amen? I'm preaching about something I know. So I hope you got it. And if you do got it, pass it on to somebody else. Pass it on to somebody else. You say, how do I do that? It's simple. Just tell somebody about what happened to you. Witness. You're just witnessing to what happened. You ain't got to be a theologian. Well, I don't know enough Bible. Just tell them what happened to you. That's enough Bible for anybody. Amen? We're going to close in prayer. I'm going to be around just for a little bit after this service. If you need me, if you want to pray with me, then I'll be around right after this service. You can do that. If not, if tonight, tomorrow, God starts stirring on your heart, you call me. I'm usually around here during the day. Come by here. Can I do one better than that? If God's really dealing with your heart, don't wait on me. Don't wait on me. Just cry out to Him right where you're at. Say, God, save me. Save me. It'll be the best decision you ever made. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the opportunity to come in and preach real truth tonight. And Lord, we're thankful. Thankful that we can do that here tonight. Lord, we pray for the ones that are sick tonight, the ones that are really struggling in their health. Lord, folks that are right on the verge of death's door. There's a friend of mine tonight who's burying his wife. Lord, we just pray for that family. Lord, we pray for Mel. Just continue to heal his body, Lord, and give him strength. And Lord, we pray for all the others that are sick. Lord, we just pray for people that are dealing with heart problems and cancer and different areas of life. Lord, forgive us of our sins and our trespasses. We forgive each other. We love you, Lord. We thank you most of all for your son, Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Come back Sunday morning.